The title of the message this morning is Directions for Disciples in Dealing with Difficulties. Directions for Disciples in Dealing with Difficulties. And you see that there is a kind of a theme in the readings that Job is struggling, and we also see that there are in the gospel many who are sick and have demons, and we see that in all of these ways the Lord is reaching out and bringing healing. But we have some teachings to look at here, some, if you will, again, directions for disciples in dealing with difficulties. And the first one that we can discuss is, first of all, the disillusionment of deep despair, and to be disillusioned. You know, you hear Job in this reading, and good old Job, I think we've all been there with Job. And it says here in the text, is not man's life on earth a drudgery? I have been assigned months of misery. Troubled nights have been allotted to me. I say to myself, my bed will ease my complaint. My couch will bring me comfort. But the night drags on, and I am filled with restlessness to the dawn. My days come to an end without hope. I shall not see happiness again. Now, anyone ever been there with Job? Come on, church. I've certainly had those times in my life when I actually dreaded going to sleep because I knew I wasn't going to get there. It was just going to be a long, lonely night, being anxious, fearful, whatever it was that had come upon me. And I suppose we've all had those sleepless nights and those times of anxiety, those times of grief, those times of sorrow, and there is a kind of a disillusionment that comes upon us. In other words, we become deeply rooted in the illusion that nothing will ever be good again. I'll never be happy again because of what I've lost or who I've lost, or my life will just now be nothing but, if you will, a complete disaster, a total loss. Again, as Job says, I shall not see happiness again. And you see, church, I want you to know that that is an illusion. And yet, when we're in that space, we know it's so. We will never be happy again. But you know, if you read the story of Job, Job was happy again. And God did come to Job, and God lifted Job out of his sackcloth and ashes, and God restored Job. He restored him fourfold. Job did see happiness again. But you see, we get into that state where we figure, I'll never be happy again. Maybe we've just lost a job or lost a loved one. Maybe something has befallen us regarding our health. We think, my life is over now. I think the psychologists call it catastrophizing. Catastrophizing. Now, I want to say that, again, we see this struggle of becoming disillusioned, but I want you to know that, again, it is an illusion. Because the Bible says that trouble don't last always. And that is the truth. Trouble don't last always. Book of Psalms says, in the 30th Psalm, it says that even the weeping may endure for a night, there will come joy with the morning light. And so it is that there is a season, if you will, for weeping, a season for anxiety and distress, but these things lift and they have a way of moving on, and somehow we do get on with our life. I've been in states, and so have you, where I just didn't think my life would ever amount to anything, and here I am today, and the Lord's been good to me. And even as I look back at those sufferings and those struggles, and I thought to myself, church, I want to say I never want to go through them again. But I'll just say this, that as I look back, I know that God was up to something good. And even though I felt that many things were never going to be the same again, and nevertheless, the Lord has restored me, and he's restored me multifold. I'm in a good place today. The Lord's been good to me, and he has blessed me. I had to, like many of you, all of you, go through some valleys, go through some difficulties, go through some losses, some of them very painful. Are you praying with me, church? I think some are getting ready for the football game. I see them adding up the numbers in the pool, and they say, I'm not going to be despairing today, Father. My team's going to win. So it is that we don't want to hear about this negative stuff, Father. I don't want this to be a premonition now that my team is going to lose. Well, don't worry. God does not do sports. He does not do sports requests. Don't worry about that. It's going to be all right. But again, I say to you that the first thing we want to notice is that in difficulties, we sometimes fall into a kind of a despair, or what I'm calling here a disillusionment that comes from deep despair, where we begin to lose sight of the fact that troubles don't last always. And we may think and be sure they're going to last always, but they don't. Anyone, has the Lord ever brought you through? You know, you thought it was all over, but here you are. And you know, every one of your distresses and trials have somehow, I say somehow, been a blessing for you. They may have been a blessing in a mighty strange package, but still, somehow, they've strengthened you. We're going to look at that more in just a moment. But I want to next notice that there is here a kind of, not only is there a disillusionment that comes with deep despair, that again, the teaching is, it is an illusion. It is not true that we will never be happy again. And I tell you, church, that even in that final struggle where the Lord will have you close your eyes in death, I tell you, if you are faithful, you will open your eyes again on the face of the Lord. Church, there is a glory waiting for us. We may have to go through the final end where it is truly the fact that our life in this world is over. But I tell you, church, it's only just beginning in the glory of heaven. So again, whatever the difficulty, remember, do not allow yourself to entertain for a moment the idea that you will never be happy again. You will, I say, you will, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I say to you, you will be happy again. Trouble don't last always. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Now we also see that we have to avoid that disillusionment that comes from despair. And the next thing I want you to notice is the destination of distressed disciples. You see today in the gospel that Simon and Andrew, their mother-in-law was very, very sick, and the Bible says that she had a great fever. There was a fever in the Bible, and then there was a great fever, and she had a great fever. We're talking maybe 104, 105, way up there near the top. She was in deep trouble. And Simon and Peter, their immediate instinct, I say Simon and Andrew, their immediate instinct was to go to Jesus. It says they immediately told Jesus about their mother-in-law. So I don't know about some of you men. I hope you'll be immediate in telling the Lord about your mother-in-law if there's trouble. I say to you that they went immediately to Jesus, and they said, she is in distress, and she needs some real help here. And Jesus, as you know, took her by the hand and raised her up, and the fever went away. Now, we also see that there were many other people there in Capernaum, in that town, and Jesus is there, and we see that it says, the text simply says that, again, when it was evening after sunset, they brought to Jesus everyone who was ill or possessed by demons, and the whole town gathered at the door, and he cured those who were sick and had various diseases, and he drove out many demons. So those who were distressed, those who were depressed, those who were discouraged, those who had demons, and those who had diseases all came to the Lord, and they just knew, we got to go to Jesus. Got to go to Jesus. The healer, the Messiah, the Lord is in town. Got to go right to the Lord. They knew to go immediately to the Lord. So if you are in distress, your immediate destination is the Lord. Now you see what happens to a lot of us is that, you know, we're pretty resourceful, and we'll run to the doctor, we'll run to the psychotherapist, we'll run to friends, and God doesn't even get on the list sometimes. We're running around telling everybody but God. And so in the end, what we want to learn is to have a more instinctive idea that we run to the Lord in everything in our life, not just the difficulties, but also the joys. You know that old spiritual, it simply says, I love the Lord. Say, I love the Lord. He heard my cry, and he pitied every groan. Long as I live and troubles rise, I'll hasten to his throne. That means hasten. That means to run as fast as you can. I will run. I will hasten to his throne. And so again, we hear another beautiful old hymn that says that what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything. It says everything to God in prayer. And then listen to this next line. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Is it your instinct to just carry everything to God in prayer? Just talk to him all day long when troubles rise? Again, too easily, and I'm not telling you to pick up the phone and call a friend. That's a good thing. Whew, something's going on at work. I need to talk to somebody. And you pick up the phone and you call a friend. Now, that's a good thing. But just remember, Jesus is on the main line. And talk to him, too. You see, again, I hope that we are as instinctive in running to the Lord as we are to run into somebody else. Because in the end, that's an important, if you will, destination for distressed disciples. That the thing we need to learn above all things is to go to the Lord in every need. Now, I want to also say that it's not enough just to go to the Lord and check off that box, but the Bible tells us over and over again that we should persevere in prayer. So again, we see that in Luke 18, for example, it says, the Lord told them about a parable about praying always and not losing heart. And then the Lord tells a kind of a funny parable. And the parable goes that it's a very Jewish parable. It says, the Lord says, listen, there was a judge in a certain town, and there was this old woman that says, I demand justice from you against my opponent. And day after day, the judge says, go away, old woman. The day after day, she comes back to him. And finally, the judge says to himself, I will render for this woman, or she will end by giving me a black eye. And then the Lord says, if that's the case with the unjust judge, how much more will it be the case with your Father who loves you and wants to hear from you? Are you praying with me? The Lord says we got to persevere in prayer. There's another story, another funny one too, about a grouchy neighbor. Remember that one? The Lord says, listen, there was a man who had a visitor come in the middle of the night, and he goes to his neighbor and he bangs on the door and says, I need to borrow some bread. I just had somebody come by and I need to feed him. And the guy says, go away, man. It's in the middle of the night. Don't bother me. But the guy keeps knocking. And the Lord says, listen, this guy's going to get up. Even if he doesn't love his neighbor, he's going to get up because his neighbor is persistent and say, here, take the bread and take everything else too and leave me alone. How much more so, says the Lord, will the Lord respond to you who loves you and is not a grouchy neighbor? Are you praying with me? Now, I'm paraphrasing these parables, but you know these, amen? You can look it up, Luke 18 and Luke 11. They're right there. Now, I want to also just say simply the book of James says that the effectual and fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Notice, effectual and fervent. Effectual means, in this case, stretched out over a long period. Effectual and fervent is actually translating one Greek word. And the idea of the Greek word is it's a prayer that's extended out and stretched out over a long period. So, if you will, the long-standing and fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. So again, the instinct in distress must be to run to the Lord and to persevere in prayer and to stay in that great conversation with the Lord. Don't ever give up on praying. Keep praying and don't lose heart, says the Lord. So we see now, if you will, two fundamental teachings for disciples in dealing with distress. First of all, again, that we need to be careful that there is a disillusionment that sometimes comes with deep despair, but it is an illusion. It is not true that my life is over and I'll never be happy again. If you trust God, I promise you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether on this side or in the glory of heaven, you will, I said you will, be happy again. And secondly, that therefore we need to run to God in every need. We need to not just save the big stuff, but just go to him for everything and say, Lord, I need some help. Lord, give me your grace. Lord, help my brother. Help my sister. Keep lifting up everything to the Lord in prayer. And the third and final thing I want to talk about in terms of these fundamental teachings is the doctrine of divine decision. Now, that means simply this, that when you go to God in prayer, as we've discussed before, God is not a vending machine. You don't just put the quarter in and press A1 and out falls the Snickers bar. God is not a vending machine, all right? We're clear on that? See, again, sometimes people think, well, I said the novena, or I said the prayer and I ended it in the name of Jesus. And we just sort of think that out pops whatever we want. But listen, God is a shepherd and God is a father, and God is not just simply going to give us everything we want and everything we need. God's going to give us what will really help us, and God is going to do what is really best for us. And if you're a parent and your child comes and asks you for an M16 rifle, are you going to go buy it for your 7-year-old? So you have no business holding on to an M16 rifle. Even if I could buy one, I'm not going to do it, because you love your child. And so sometimes we go to God and we have our own agenda and we say, Lord, go ahead and just grant it all. A1, and out pops the Snickers bar, and it just doesn't work that way. There is a doctrine of divine decision. And so we see in the gospel today something interesting. The Lord had spent all that evening healing a multitude who were brought to him. And then he went away late in the evening into a deserted area out by the lake probably, and he was praying. And the text simply says that early in the morning, it says that Simon Peter came and pursued him, and upon finding Jesus said, "Everybody's looking for you." In other words, where have you been? Don't you know that there is a line of people back there waiting to get healed? What are you doing out here by the lake? Get back, because there's folks need your attention. You got it? See the vision? He's angry with Jesus because there's people who need help and Jesus is off doing God knows what. All right. Jesus responds. He says, "Nope, we're not going back there. We're going to the next town. And we're going to the other villages, because I want this is why I've really come, to proclaim the good news, to preach the gospel." And so they left Capernaum and they went to the next town. Now, this is kind of a difficult thing to hear. Jesus, knowing that there were needy people back in Capernaum, said they're going to have to wait. And in fact, I'm going to go somewhere else, because, you know, I'm not going to be reduced to simply being a medical miracle worker. I've come to preach the gospel. I'm about people's spiritual healing before their physical healing. So the Lord is saying, in effect, no to some people. He's saying, if not no, he's saying, wait. Now, that may cause us a little grief, but I just want you to see that the Lord says there's greater things than just getting a medical healing. There are other things that I have to be about. Now, what does that have to do again then with us? Well, I want to just say to you that, again, when we go to God and we say, Lord, here's the agenda. I need help. And some of it may be very urgent to us. Maybe it's a medical need. Maybe it's a financial concern. Maybe it's a need for a job. Maybe it's the need for a healing of a son or a daughter in some kind of a broken down situation. And we're urgent and we're saying, Lord, help, help. And the Lord says, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. We'll get there. We'll get there. And he's saying, wait. You say, but Lord, you don't understand. I need it now. And the Lord says, wait. Now, this then leads us into the deep mystery of why the Lord says wait, and why the Lord doesn't just give us everything that we need. Right away, instantly, why should we ever have to suffer anything, even for a moment, if God loves me? Now, again, I'm just going to ask you to think about it if you're a parent. What would happen to your children if you just gave them everything they thought they needed instantly? See, again, sometimes it's important to say wait, sometimes it's important to say no, or sometimes it's important to say, I want you to struggle with this a little bit so that you can grow. See, but mommy or daddy, I just want to get an A in math and I shouldn't have to work hard for it. Son, daughter, you got to work. We're bringing in a tutor and you're going to spend 6-7 extra hours a week studying your math. But that's not fun, mommy. Just make it better. Just get me the right answers. Can't do it that way. I want you to work. You got to live the struggle to have the growth. Are you praying with me? And sometimes we may go to God and we may think that we know what's best for us, and we may think that we've got the proper plan, and we know when something should happen. And God says, no, I need you to wait a little bit. I need you to work with me on this. Sometimes God says right away, yes, I'm going to take care of that. But sometimes God says, wait. And sometimes God says, no. And this leads us then to, if you will, the mystery of God's sometimes delay and his no. And all I can say to you is I don't have a simple answer for you. I'm not going to just say, well, here, I've solved the mystery. Don't worry about it. We're going to worry about it. We know what we need, and we need it now. And sometimes some of us need some pretty critical stuff, like right away. And we say, God's delaying. And I don't have a simple answer for you. I'm just going to ask you to think with me that in the end, we've got to leave it up to God. And sometimes God even permits, for a reason and a season, some very painful realities in our life. And we don't know what they are, but God knows, and God has a reason for it. Now, I've reviewed this with you before, but I want to just review with you a few reasons why God might allow some difficulties to stay in our life a little while longer than we'd like them to. First of all, I want to just say to you that sometimes our difficulties help to direct us. And sometimes they help to inspect us. And sometimes they help to correct, protect, and perfect us. And so we have to see that God may be up to a number of things. First of all, our difficulties can direct us. You know, sometimes God just has to light a fire under us. Sometimes difficulties have a way of getting us to move on things that we've been delaying about ourselves. Sometimes, again, a difficulty might have a way of helping us to say, you know, I need to make some changes in my life. See, I can't go on doing some of the stuff I've been doing. And those difficulties are the thing that where God helps to direct us and move us to where he needs us to be. You know, we all get invested in what we like. But sometimes God needs to get us to a different place. Amen? So you see, first of all, difficulties might direct us. And secondly, they inspect us. And it's not so much that God needs to inspect us. He knows of what we're made. But do you know what you're made of? I can just tell you that some of my difficulties have been a way for me to discover that there was things I could do that I didn't know I could do. That there were things I could overcome that I didn't think I could overcome. My daddy had a way of telling me that all the time. He says, son, you've got an A in math inside your brain. We just got to get it out of there. son, you have an ability to ride a bike without training wheels. Now, you don't think it's in you, but I know it's in you because you're a chip off the old block, and if I can do it, you can do it. And so he took the training wheels off, and I said, Daddy, I can't do it. But again, he had a way of showing me that it was inside of me. Now, those are simple little examples, but church, in some of the tough times in our life, we found a strength in us, and we found an ability in us that we didn't know we had. And so you see, sometimes God permits difficulties to direct us and sometimes to inspect us. Sometimes difficulties have a way of correcting us. Book of Psalms says, before I was afflicted, I strayed, but now I keep your law. Again, sometimes allowing difficulties is a way to get us to repent and turn back to God and learn that I got to trust him more and I got to make some changes in my life. That some of the difficulties I'm in are the result of my own stubbornness and my sin. And sometimes God has to let us feel a little bit of the heat to get us to, if you will, come into the shade with them and work with them. You see the vision. So again, sometimes God allows difficulties to direct us, to inspect us, and sometimes to correct us. And sometimes God allows difficulties to protect us. A simple little example, you got late for work and you missed an important meeting. And that was a pain. But had you been in the intersection at the usual time, you would have been killed. God delayed you to save you. That's a simple little example. But again, sometimes God, if you will, prevents us or puts some difficulty so that we don't go in a certain direction, because he knows that if we go in that direction, it'll cause us to fall into things that he doesn't intend for us. Here I am today, a priest, but I was going to get married one day, and I had myself a beautiful girlfriend. I say she was beautiful. I don't know what she was doing dating me. But she was a beautiful girl, and I just say that at some point she broke my heart, and she got glasses, and she started to see how ugly I really was, and she broke up with me. And the rest is history. I'm here today, and God's been good to me. And and God bless Denise. I don't know exactly what became. I know she got married and she had some kids. That's the last I heard, but she's a fine woman. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying God did not intend for me to go in that direction. He intended for me to be here with all of you. And I praise God and I thank him for that gift. But I had to go through a kind of a heartbreaking time. Amen, church? So you see the vision that sometimes God is trying to, if you will, protect us or, if you will, get us to be in the place we need to be. And finally, I'll just say that sometimes difficulties not only direct, inspect, correct, and protect us, but they are also there to perfect us. The Bible says in the book of Romans that we rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know they're good for us, for they help us to learn to be patient, and patience develops character of strength. And likewise, 1 Peter chapter 1 says that sometimes you got to go through fire to be purified. See, you're like gold, and sometimes for gold to be purified, you have to put it in the fire and refine out the impurities. And sometimes, again, struggles and sufferings have a way of purifying us. So again, please understand there's a mystery to why God doesn't always immediately say yes to our every wish. I don't have simple answers, especially I know some of you are still waiting for that job, and it's getting critical. You say, God, if it ain't now, when? I understand. It's hard. It's very painful. I know that I've had to wait sometimes, and I heard an answer from God I didn't want to hear. And I know that sometimes I've felt like we were long past critical. And I know I've been walking with some of you, and some of us have been praying together about some really critical stuff in your life, and God is still saying, wait. And I don't have a simple, pat answer for you. It's hard, it's painful, it's tough. But these are at least some ways of trying to understand that God may well be up to something good. I know someone who had to wait a mighty long time. I'll just say it out loud. It's my brother. He had to wait 9 months. He's been out of work for 9 months. And he just got a job. It was a hard process. And his job, he's earning more now than he did in his old job. But God had to have him wait for that job. All I know is God said wait. And I had to walk with my brother through a difficult time. But God's been good now. But I'll tell you, a few months ago, it was getting critical. I said, Lord, what about it, Lord? What about it? Come on, Lord, it's time now. The Lord has finally come through. I said, finally. But God came through in his own good time. I'm just going to say, I know it's hard. I know it's painful. I've walked with some of you. I'm still walking with some of you. I know. No simple answer. But there is a doctrine of divine decision. So here we are today, talking about distress. And again, the first thing to avoid is the disillusionment that comes. My life is over. I will never be happy again. That is an illusion. You will. I said you will be happy again. Secondly, run. Don't walk. Run to the nearest place to pray and talk to the Lord about everything in your life. And persevere in that praying. And then finally, put it in his hands and let him decide. He knows what's best. It may mean you gotta wait, like some of these folks at Capernaum. It may mean there are delays. And I don't have simple answers, and I know it hurts, and I know it's painful, and I'm not gonna say it's not. I'm just gonna say, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. I'm just going to say, keep working, keep praying with the Lord. These are some directions for disciples in dealing with difficulties. There's an old song that just says, you don't have to worry. If you want to, you can. But you don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid, because joy comes in the morning and troubles, they don't last always. There is a friend named Jesus. He will wipe your tears away. And when your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, I know. Say, I know that I can make it. And I know that I can stand. Whatever comes my way, Lord, my life is in your hands. Amen.